Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In light of recent events surrounding myself and members that I'm of my family that I'm, as I almost said, familiar with, that I'm of members of my family, spawned this lesson a little bit, and I hope I can do it justice. But I've been having to think recently and for the last couple of years about sin and the effect it has on people and what spurs that sin. And then I have to ask myself, am I guilty of the same things? Am I guilty of the same things? And praise the Lord, God doesn't respond in the same way He did back in the old days. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. You're all scratching your heads, but you'll understand a little bit later down the road what I'm speaking of here. Joshua chapter 7, in the first verse, then we're going to jump down to 16. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And then we skip down to 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and every tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zerahites, and he brought the family of Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought the household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord of God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of godly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, and in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent his messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent. Behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. They took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua said, All Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Awful stiff punishment, isn't it? Aren't we glad God doesn't punish us that way today? Because I'd probably be, by tomorrow afternoon, I'd be out in the front lawn being stoned to death. Aren't we glad God doesn't treat us the same way? But this man went against what God said. They were going to go take Jericho. They were going to take it, but they were to bring nothing back. And what did he do? He saw the spoils of war. Nobody's going to know it. Nobody's going to know if I take these things. And he hid them in his tent. Well, he forgot. There was one person that knew what happened. God always knows what happens. And as a result, him and his family lost their lives. It said it troubled all of Israel. It cost Israel too. Israel had nothing to do with it. It was one man. But yet God troubled the entire nation of Israel until it was taken care of. Achan paid a dear price. Adam and Eve were tossed from the garden for sinning and stealing one apple. Or, excuse me, Lisa said not to say apple. One fruit off the tree. They were told, you can have anything you want except this one tree. Don't touch it. They touched it. They partook of it. And as a result, they lost their lives. And as a result of it, I have to fire up my John Deere mower twice a week to mow my yard now. And I have to watch people weed the garden that I ain't not going to weed because there'd be snakes in the garden that they're weeding out next to our house. But as a result of that, we're all paying a price. I'm not making light of it, but we're all paying a price because of the indiscretion of one person, of people. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagine of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And what happened? He built an ark, or had an ark built, and destroyed every man, save, say, 8 people from the face of the earth. He destroyed them for their indiscretion, their sins, the things they did. This lesson is spurned by recent events in our family and in my life. It's kind of opened my eyes a little bit and shows to the cause and effects of sin on and around us. And it's caused me to think of myself and my actions. I don't know if it's a true saying. I don't think it's in the scriptures, but you always hear the saying, "There but by the grace of God go I." How many times could I say that in my life? "There but by the grace of God go I." Because it's God that has delivered me from some of my indiscretions. I'm probably confusing you even more and more. Some people know what I'm talking about, but I'm confusing a lot of you probably more and more. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. These are all stories we're familiar with. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And this is one that hit me real hard. Because I had to make a choice recently how I was going to handle a situation. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery when they had set her in the midst. And they said unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." And they again stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest and even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." That one hit me a little bit recently in light of events that have happened. Get to this here in a minute. Okay, here it is. An Avon woman was sentenced to 3 years in prison for bank and mail fraud. She will also serve 2 years of supervised release and was ordered to pay over $315,000 in restitution. According to court documents, this lady devised 2 separate fraud schemes. Her bank fraud scheme targeted customers of Brownsburg, Indiana Bank, where she served as bank manager. The woman admitted in court that between 2017 and 2020, she perpetrated a scheme to withdraw money from customers' certificate of deposit accounts without their knowledge. She digitally assigned for the customers without their authorization, effectively forging their signatures, and then approved the withdrawals using her position as bank manager. In total, she stole more than $180,000 from the bank's customers using this scheme. She also is charged with mail fraud because she targeted 3 children for whom she served as guardian and trustee for their inheritance. She admitted that in mid-2015, one of her close friends died, leaving a trust account for the friend's 3 children. She was named the trustee for the accounts, each of which had more than $50,000 in them. Over the course of 8 months, she spent all that money of the children's account. To conceal her thefts, she created and mailed false bank statements perpetrating to show that children's accounts still had thousands of dollars in them. The 3 trust accounts had $0 left because she had spent all the money. Between these 2 schemes, she admitted to stealing more than $315,000. Their actions were full of greed and selfishness. So as a result, she's serving 3 years in prison and then 2 years supervised leadership. Yes, what's that got to do with you, Doug? That girl is my sister. She grew up in the church with me. We went to church together for years. But greed got to her. Sin got to her. Satan, I wasn't going to do this. Satan got to her. So I had a decision to make. What was I going to do? Half the family has deserted her. They've left her alone. They don't want nothing to do with her. I could have made the same choice. I'm not doing that. She's in prison for 3 years as of last Tuesday. I'm not going to see her for 3 years. Her husband, her two kids are not going to see her for 3 years because of that. Greed and sin and Satan have a big effect on us. They can take us down if we just let them. Let him that stand, let him take heed lest he fall that thinks he stands. I think I stand. I'm on it. Nothing going to take me down. Well, I'm sure that's what she thought too. And then she got sat there in front of all that money. And boy, how much money that guy could do with that money. You know, her kids didn't drive shabby. I don't know if this is what she did with the money, but her kids didn't drive shoddy cars. She lived in a nice house. She had a nice pool. I don't know if all that had anything to do with it, or if she got so far in debt, she had to find a way to pay her way out of it. And that was her way to do it. I could do the same thing. I could take my truck sitting right over there, it says Goodwin Tucker on it, and I could empty that puppy on eBay, on the internet. I could sell everything that's in that truck. Company, I could probably cover it up. The company would figure it out eventually. But I could do it if I wanted to. But I'm not going to. Is your standing on physical or spiritual things? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, it tells us we need to be aware of our focus on things. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting in the 8th verse. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I know we hear it said all the time, money is a root of all evil. But you got to have money to survive. But you can't let that money take over your life. You can't let that money become the ruler of your life. There's a saying that I hear that says, God did not make anything junk. God made me, but I'm not junk. I may make mistakes, but God did not make junk. When God created the heavens and the earth and everything, he said it is good when he was finished with it. Man's what made it junk. Well, I got to thinking about that. And I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds in scriptures here, but I want you to consider that Satan does not make junk either. If Satan offered us junk, would we be tempted by it? I hope I'm right by saying that. But if Satan offered us junk, it wouldn't be tempting. When Satan offered the fruit to Adam and Eve, oh, look, it's good to the eyes, it's pleasing, it's something you really want. He didn't say, oh, look at that big bramble burr down there on the ground. You know, you'll eat that, you'll have thorns in your top of your mouth and everything else. They didn't have it at that point in time. But he didn't offer them that. He offered them the best they had. When Christ was tempted on the temple by Satan after three times, did he offer him junk? No, he offered him the best. Christ already had the best. Christ controlled everything. But he offered it to him. You can have everything. All you got to do is bow down to me. Satan doesn't offer junk when he offers us temptations. That's the problem. Sometimes we think, oh, he's got better things to offer than what I have now. So I'm going to suffer. I'm going to take advantage of that. James chapter 1, starting in the 14th verse. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of darkness. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. When we're drawn away of our own lust, we allow ourselves to be tempted. We allow ourselves to think, there's something better there possibly. Maybe I should go for it. How often do we hear of that in the news anymore? Somebody had everything, but they gave it all up because they got greedy. They gave it all up because sin took over. Not saying you can't be rich. Not saying you can't have everything. But when that everything takes place of God, then I think Satan's telling you, you can have better than what you have now. Adam and Eve saw that it was pleasing to the eye, and they partook of it. Christ was tempted three times. As a man, sure he was Christ, but he was a man, and he was tempted as a man, and he did not give in. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but who here is guilty of sin on a daily basis? Now, it's not sin unto death, possibly, but it's sin. It's indiscretion, but is a sin a sin? A sin's a sin. If I'm driving down, I brought this up to Trent yesterday, if I'm driving down the road, speed limit 60 mile an hour, I do 61 mile an hour. When I got to 61, theoretically, I'm sinning. I'm not abiding by the laws of the land. Now, that being said, I bet everybody in this place, for sure Earl Danks isn't sitting in here right now, but everybody in this place has driven over the speed limit, has driven faster than they should, including me. My company van, you can call it sandbagging, avoiding the next job. They have no way of knowing when I finish up a job. I could go sit in my van until I hit depart on my ticket. I could sit there for an hour just sitting in my van listening to the radio, reading Facebook, doing whatever I want to do. Company has no idea because they're not sitting there in the van with me. But that to me would be a sin because I'm deceiving the company at that point in time. I'm deceiving the customer at that point in time. I told the customer, I'm done, I'm leaving your site. They look out there and I'm still sitting there an hour later. I guarantee they're going to look at their bill when they get it and see if that bill reflects that extra hour I was sitting there. Then I got some explaining to do to the office because that would be an indiscretion on my part. And, of course, we all know the old saying, you know, when you used to go and have to sign your fuel receipts at the gas station, you know, you'd walk out with the pen in your hand. Well, I got a bucket full of pens in my van, not so much anymore that I used to, but you'd walk out with a pen. Okay, theoretically, you've stolen a pen. From a state a pen you didn't have when you walked in. You've stolen that pen. That's the farthest end of the spectrum. I'm not trying to make light of this. But my sister was tempted by something. My sister saw an opportunity, and she ran with it. And it's probably easy. It may have been hard that first time. But the longer it went, the easier it got. Okay, I can make this cover up. I can cover this up. Push this little button, nobody will know it. Problem is somebody knew about it. Eventually, somebody knew about it. When I commit a sin on a daily basis, does anybody know about it? If I go 62 mile an hour, 63 mile an hour, if I got MapQuest on, yeah, it's telling me speed limit here is 60, I'm doing 63, but she ain't going to call anybody and tell them about it. But there is one person that knows. God knows. God is aware of everything I do, everything that happens. I wonder how many times God sat up there and looked down at my sister, Susan, and said, you can stop now. You can stop. Are you going to stop? I mean, he knew she wasn't going to stop. I mean, that's a bad thing about it. And he couldn't force her to stop. It was free will. It was her doing. But Satan kept dangling those carrots in front of her, and she kept going for it. So that's when I had to make my choice. What was I going to do? Was I going to abandon her? Or was I going to be like the rest, but be like different part, not be like the family and stick beside her? No, she knows she did wrong. Doesn't do me a bit of good to say, Susan, you're stupid, you messed up, you went over the board. It wouldn't do me a bit of good to do that to her. She knows she messed up. She's made right with the Lord, as far as I can tell. She doesn't attend church at Chapel Glen anymore, but she does at another church in Brownsburg, Indiana. And from what I hear, she has made right with the Lord. That's fine, but she's still serving a three-year sentence. Just because you made right with the Lord don't mean you're not going to pay a fine. You know, had Achan said, God, I'm sorry, I'm not sure God would have said, okay, we're going to let it go. No, there was still a price to be paid, and that price was the death of Achan and his family. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that maybe I'm becoming an old fuddy-duddy here, but this kind of hit home a little bit. You know, my little indiscretions today could be big indiscretions tomorrow. You know, 41 years ago, when I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing, what kept me from getting arrested? I could be just as bad off as she is. I was in a car one time. I've said this before. I was in a car one time. If we'd got pulled over, there was illegal drugs in the car. There was underage alcohol in the car. I could have been arrested. Where would I have been? I'm an 18 or 16-year-old kid in this car. But we knew what we were doing. But we were just, they'll never catch us. We're invincible. Well, my sister probably thought she was invincible too. But Satan dangles that carrot out there and you become an invincible real quick. I've been doing a lot of deep soul searching of myself recently because I could just as easy be in the same situation. What's it called? Skeletons in the closet. I've got a few skeletons in my closet. Everybody does. I different kinds, different types and things. But many people accused the woman of adultery. But when it came right down, the rubber hitting the road, Christ said, look at yourselves. You know, the old saying, they that live in glass houses shouldn't cast stones. You know, maybe I'm casting stones too many times when I should be the one getting the stones cast at me. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at the 27th verse. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that he may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, Doug, you're talking about stealing. I don't steal. I've never stolen. Well, that's fine. More power to you. I don't think I've ever stolen either. Except for the pens from the gas stations. But I've never stolen that I know of. I mean, I don't think I have. But you know what? There's a lot more in that scripture that I could be guilty of. I could be guilty of bitterness and wrath and clamoring and anger and evil speaking with malice. You know, I could throw my sister under the bus real quick. I'm 480 miles away from her. I got nothing to do with that woman. She's evil. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But I'm just as well. I could real easily because I'm human. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what she needs right now is my forgiveness. I believe God has forgiven her, but God didn't say, guess what? I'm going to wipe away all your fine. You don't have to go to prison for 3 years. Nope, she's going to prison for 3 years as a result of that. But when she comes out, she'll still be my sister, and I'll still need to show her the love and the attention that she deserves. Stealing is taking something that is not rightfully yours. Remember, others have the same choices to make. We need to be kind and tender-hearted. Stealing is taking something that is not rightfully yours. None of that money was rightfully hers. It belonged to other people. Well, when I take your self-respect, when I take your dignity away from you, am I not stealing something from you? If I talk evil, if I leave here today and I go to work and I say, you know, I got a nephew named Derek. Thinks he's an electrician. Devin. Thinks he's an electrician. Yeah, right. You know what it sounds like when he shorts something out? Psst. You know, when I short something out with my pliers, it goes boom, and it puts a big art mark in it. Why am I doing that? I'm showing disrespect to my nephew. I don't do it. When I'm with you, I'll do it, but I don't do it when I'm at work because I know you'll laugh about it. But that's showing disrespect. What are people going to think? I profess to be a member of the Church of Christ, a follower of God. But yet when I show up around my friends, like Derek wants to smack the guy in the back of the head with a shovel back in the day. You know, he fought that urge. He fought that urge. When I was working at a warehouse in Indianapolis, we had a manager that was so hard to get along with. I didn't do it, but a guy took the forklift. And his office, this would have been the back wall of his office where he sat, and it was a straight run down the aisle. A guy took the forklift and made little outlines of where the forks would go. And he said, if the guy ever makes me mad enough, that forklift's going right through that back wall. I had nothing to do with that. But that was bad. He was having evil, disrespectful thoughts in his mind. You don't always agree with everybody. I guarantee Nathan doesn't agree with me half the time what I tell him, and Stacy doesn't either, and I know Lisa doesn't. Just try shaving your beard off one Sunday and you'll find that out. But she didn't go around disrespecting me for it. She just told me how she felt. And that's what we need to do. I won't disrespect Susan, but I'll tell her how I feel. But I'll let her know she's still loved. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we don't think that, we're in trouble, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody's going to be grandfathered into heaven. Nobody's going to walk up to a pearly gates and say, I was perfect my whole life. Why are you telling me I'm short? Because we fell short of the glory of God, because we did not take his son's sacrifice and his son's death on the cross to remove our sins from our lives. Nobody is perfect. Nobody has a halo. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, in the eyes of the federal penitentiary in Lexington, Kentucky, my sister is just another inmate. She's just a prisoner. She's somebody they got to take care of for the next 3 years. They don't know anything about her other than she committed a felony, a crime, and she's paying a price for it. But I know Susan differently. She made a mistake. And God knows Susan differently. She made a mistake. And through his son's blood and through the power of his cross, he is able to give us the forgiveness of sins. So Susan can walk out a felon, but a forgiven felon in the eyes of God. And I can do the same thing. I can walk out of this building a Christian, and I could slip up tomorrow, but yet I can be forgiven through the blood of Christ, so I won't be guilty of sin. This is something I've been thinking of a lot recently because of the events. You know, it's hard when something like this happens and you're not right there with them to help them, but the best thing you can do is just to be the support mechanism that they need. And that's why we have the brothers here at Vandalia, because we all need that support mechanism, because we're all going to slip up and we're all going to fail. We're all going to need somebody to come to us and say, hey, I was there at one time. I know what you're going through. Well, yes, you can't really say that all the time, but you've had troubles. You've had trials. Everybody's had a trouble and a trial in their life. If you don't, I think you're deceiving yourself, because I know I'm going to always have troubles and trials. I'm going to drop a brick on my foot. I'm going to drive a hammer into my hand. I'm going to slice my finger with a knife or something. The temptations are there. Just remember, God didn't make anything junk, including you, and including me, but Satan is out there offering nothing but precious things. He's not offering junk either. If he was offering junk, it wouldn't be a temptation. As we conclude this morning, we're asked to examine ourselves, and if we have not taken advantage of Christ's sacrifice, been washed in the blood of his baptism, and had our sins removed, we're always given that opportunity each and every time. But if we have for some reason fallen away and we need to make amends for our wrongs or something we've done, be it public or private, we're always given that opportunity as we stand and sing the closing song.